Hey, y'all. In July 1863, a small town in South Central Pennsylvania was home to the bloodiest battle of the United States Civil War. Sadly, it seems many of those soldiers don't yet realize that the war is over. These are the ghosts of Gettysburg. I'm Candace, and I'll be your guide. The U.S. Civil War was a four-year conflict comprised of many brutal battles. As with every war, there were numerous causes for it, political details involved, and strategies utilized. There are many excellent historical podcasts detailing the war itself, so for this episode, I'd like to keep that part very simple. The Northern states, also called the Union, and the Southern states, the Confederacy, were fighting amongst themselves for many reasons, the most notable being the Union and President Abraham Lincoln were pursuing the abolition of slavery. As Confederate forces pushed north, they encountered Union soldiers in southern Pennsylvania, in a large expanse of flat land in the town of Gettysburg. At just under 18 square miles, or 29 square kilometers, this area gave them the needed space for battle, as well as usage of the area's rock formations and nearby hillsides for strategy. What the Confederacy didn't expect, however, is that they were vastly outnumbered, with the Union overpowering the Confederacy by 22,222 additional men. The Battle of Gettysburg was a three-day-long bloodbath, the battle with the greatest loss of life over the four-year war. By the end of those 3 days, roughly 50,000 soldiers lay injured or dying. Total casualties were just over 7,000 total deaths, more than 33,000 wounded, and over 10,000 soldiers missing and never recovered. With losses this great, it is unsurprising that every nearby home, church, hotel, any available building really was turned into a makeshift hospital, with every able-bodied person, mostly women, working as makeshift nursing staff. Limbs that had been amputated en masse were piled in large heaps to be buried in mass graves. Bodies lie scattered on the battlefield, rotting in the heat of the summer sun until graves could be dug. In addition, approximately 5,000 horses and mules also fell in battle, adding to the burden of burial and cleanup. The animals were burned in large pyres that left a lingering stench over the town. The local cemetery was so busy digging graves that the wife of the largest cemetery's manager dug over 100 graves herself while pregnant in effort to help. Interestingly, upon recovering the fallen soldiers, a few of them turned out to be female soldiers disguising themselves as men to fight in the war. Of course, I don't need to explain that these numerous casualties of battle, particularly when suffered under the strife of a fight to the death with their own fellow countrymen, along with a rapid burial barred of any last rites or other luxuries, is the perfect storm for hauntings. Author Mark Nesbitt, an author and historian who specializes in stories from the Battle of Gettysburg, says, quote, "Acre for acre, Gettysburg is probably the most haunted place in America," unquote. Currently, the battlefield is in preservation as Gettysburg National Military Park, preserving much of the battlefield grounds, while those surrounding buildings that were utilized as short-term hospitals have resumed their use or found new purpose. But many of these locations have reported some unusual occurrences. Visitors to the battlefield area and the town itself report hearing the cries of wounded soldiers, gunfire, cannon blasts, mysterious Civil War music playing, the clopping of horse hooves, as well as seeing phantom apparitions. Sometimes a person feels that they are seeing or interacting with a Civil War reenactor, a popular hobby, only for that person to then just vanish. Phantom smells are often occasionally experienced, such as the stench of the burning horses. The odor of the decaying soldiers was said to be so extreme that people could only walk the streets of Gettysburg if they held a handkerchief with peppermint oil to their nose. Sometimes, people still get a whiff of peppermint or vanilla while in the town. It is even said that spectral soldiers have appeared in the background of photographs, with or without their horses. And in rare occasion, entire companies of soldiers have been said to appear. It is said that the area is haunted by the spirits of restless soldiers who cannot accept their demise. Devil's Den is a rock formation on the battlefield that got its name from the large snake that is rumored to live within the stones, nicknamed the Devil. The legend of the snake rumors that it is anywhere from 8 to 15 feet long. Interestingly, the darkness of Devil's Den isn't something that originated with the battle. Early accounts of the area suggest a Native American battle was fought at Devil's Den and the surrounding area called Round Top. This battle is reported to have been called Battle of the Crows. Author Emanuel Bushman wrote an article dating back to 1800 mentioning, quote, many unnatural and supernatural sights and sounds, unquote. He wrote that the early settlers report seeing Native American spirits in the area, and that on a quiet night, you could hear what he called Native war whoops without explanation. The area just held an eerie feeling, with most troops' letters home mentioning the ominous feel of the rocks, or referring to it as a, quote, desolate and ghostly place, unquote. The men who were ordered to stand guard at Devil's Den overnight during the Battle of Gettysburg talk about how unnerving it was, spending the night in such a scary place, particularly while surrounded by the bodies of their fallen comrades. To top it off, it is said that the bodies of Confederate soldiers littered the rocks for weeks after the battle, the rain quickening the decay. Some say that not all bodies were buried. Some were just kind of shoved down amongst the rocky crevices of Devil's Den. Not long after the battle, stories of more modern hauntings of Devil's Den began. It is said that two hunters had gotten very lost in the woods nearby the rocks. When one looked up to see a figure standing atop the formation, he pointed wordlessly. When the hunter looked in that direction, he realized that that was indeed the direction they needed to go. But when he turned back to thank the man, he had vanished. In the 1970s, a woman stopped by the ranger station to ask if there were any ghosts on the battlefield. Now, the rangers notoriously will neither confirm nor deny the hauntings. But the woman went on to explain that she'd been taking photos at Devil's Den early that morning when suddenly she felt the uncomfortable presence of someone standing next to her. She explains that the man who had approached had long, dirty hair, ragged clothing, a large floppy hat, and most noticeably, the man didn't have any shoes. The man looked right at her and said, "What you're looking for is over there," and pointed behind her. Of course, when she looked away and looked back, the man had vanished. About a month later, the same ranger was on duty when another photographer came in to explain a similar story. A man had appeared in one of his photographs who hadn't been there at the time. The man described the apparition in the same way: long hair, worn clothing, and bare feet. During the battle, many of the Confederate men stationed at Devil's Den were from Texas. At the time, Texas was in the far reaches of the United States, and the troops didn't receive care packages the same way that others did, so they often retained a more wild look, and often didn't have adequate clothing or shoes. This apparition is said to appear to be one of the Texan Confederates. In the years following those initial encounters in the 70s, this same man has been spotted numerous times. Sometimes visitors have mistaken him for a reenactor and have had their photos taken with him. But they explain that when they got home and got their film developed, the man is missing from every photograph. In addition to the apparition of the Texan, many visitors report the sounds of shouts and gunfire in the area of Devil's Den, as well as that batteries and electronics just don't fare well in that area. Specifically, dozens of people have reported equipment failures there that were unexpected. In 1993, the movie Gettysburg was being filmed on site on the battlefield in the Round Top area near Devil's Den. Because the film had such a high demand for a large number of extras to play soldiers, the production company hired Civil War reenactors to work as extras, as they were already essentially trained for the role and had their own uniforms. One evening during a break in filming, several of these extras were watching a sunset when a haggard man approached them. The extras say the man was wearing a worn and scorched Union uniform, and he smelled of gunpowder. He chatted briefly about how furious the fighting was and passed out some spare rounds of ammunition to them before going on his way. After looking closely at the ammo he gave them, the extras began to doubt that he was actually with the production company and took the ammo to the prop master. Apparently, the apparition had somehow handed out genuine musket rounds to the extras. Outside the clearing of the battlefield itself, the surrounding buildings and structures have their own tales to tell. At the nearby Gettysburg Hotel, many guests report seeing Rachel, the spirit of a Civil War nurse who is seen looking for patients to tend to. She occasionally also opens drawers and removes the contents. Past guests also claim to have seen a spirit of a wounded soldier dancing with a lady in the center of the ballroom. The Tilly Pierce House Inn, Bed and Breakfast, frequently reports hearing footsteps in the hallways of the empty floors above guests. The sensation of feeling a spirit sitting down on the bed next to patrons, and hearing a soldier constantly walking up and down the stairs as if patrolling the building. The inn is also said to have a resident ghost cat and the spirits of children running and playing. The local Gettysburg College was called Pennsylvania College at the time of the war. One building in particular, Pennsylvania Hall, was used as a student dormitory until the Civil War, when the Confederate forces used the building for a field hospital, as well as utilizing the stately building's cupola as a lookout post. Currently, it's in use as the campus's administrative offices, but it seems the building vividly remembers its history. On certain nights, students and staff see soldiers pacing back and forth in the cupola, believed to be on lookout duty to protect General Lee, who was housed in Pennsylvania Hall during the battle. Once, a figure was seen in the tower gesturing wildly to a student below, appearing panicked. Out of concern that someone was trapped in there, the student called campus security, who found the building to be empty. Reports from that time discussed that the field hospital set up in Pennsylvania Hall was even worse than what we imagine. Blood spray covered the walls as a result of the favored treatment for bullet wounds at that time, amputation. These amputations were done without anesthetic. The area outside of the operating rooms was a holding room meant for those who would not survive their injuries. One of the most famous stories from Pennsylvania Hall is of two college administrators who were working late on the fourth floor one night. When it was time for them to head home, they got onto the elevator together, only it didn't stop at the first floor like it was supposed to. Inexplicably, the elevator passed the first floor and proceeded to the basement level. When the doors opened, the administrators found themselves taken back in time. The typical basement storage room had been replaced by one of those blood-spattered operating rooms. Wounded men lie lined up on the floor while doctors and nurses worked quickly in blood-stained clothing right before their eyes. Interestingly, the entire scene was completely silent. The administrators panicked at the sight and started rapidly pushing the first floor button on the elevator, pleading with it to move. Just before the elevator doors closed fully, the pair on the elevator state that one of the spirits of the hospital staff looked directly at them with a pleading look, as if asking for help. From that point on, whenever the two men had to work late, they always took the stairs when they left. The Rose Farm was yet another temporary hospital, as well as a temporary burial ground. Hundreds of soldiers from both sides were buried in rows all around the house and the property. In 1863, exhumations of the bodies began to move them to a more appropriate resting place. Due to the sheer number of bodies, this process took a few years. During this time, one of the daughters living on the Rose Farm says that she began seeing blood flowing from the walls of the family home. The family surmised that she was experiencing psychosis from living through the war, the treatment of the patients in the home's makeshift hospital, and then the burials and exhumations. But could it be that it wasn't psychosis after all? One of the farm's employees reports coming back home to the farm one evening shortly after nightfall to see a glowing figure standing near the soldiers' graves. After the battle was over, it was apparent that there was a need for care for the many orphans of the area. Many children lost their fathers, and their mothers may have been emotionally or financially unable to provide care from that point on. Hence, the National Soldiers' Orphans Homestead was built. Initially, it was as warm and loving a place as an orphanage could be, but shortly after its beginning, the headmistress left and was replaced by Rosa Carmichael. Rosa was a stern disciplinarian and a harsh woman who preferred to chain the children to the basement walls rather than provide the love and care the former headmistress had offered. The abuse goes beyond what I've mentioned, but I'm just going to leave it at that. It is said the former orphanage is haunted by the sounds of children's laughter and crying, an apparition of a small boy who appears momentarily in the corners, objects such as toys left by guests appearing to have been moved overnight, and colored orbs and various light anomalies have been spotted here. In addition, many psychics and self-proclaimed mediums are said to refuse visits to the facility, stemming from the depth of pain and negativity felt there. Finally, the Sachs-covered bridge is another of the most well-known haunted locations of Gettysburg, with supposedly thousands of accounts of supernatural activity. This bridge was used by forces on each side to cross a creek near the battlefield to gain access. The legend is that three Confederate soldiers were hung from the rafters of the bridge. Some say they were caught deserting and were hung as their punishment. Others say they were spies, but whatever the cause, there are many ghostly sightings of three men swaying as they hang from the bridge. Other people claim that they've been touched or had their hair pulled, and that voices have been heard. There's also a famous urban legend about a smoking ghost. If a lit cigarette is placed upon the bridge railing, it is said you can see someone puff on the cigarette. It is said that the spirit's name is Tennessee, although I can't find an origin story for him. The stories don't end here. With multitudes of other hotels, homes, ranger stations, etc., experiencing unexplained footsteps, the mysterious smell of pipe tobacco, or disembodied sounds. It really does seem that 3 days in history left an entire town haunted. Of the horrors of war one can imagine before a conflict like this, it's doubtful that the lingering, restless spirits of soldiers on both sides of the fight cross the mind of those writing the orders. Okay, y'all, that's the story of the ghosts of Gettysburg. Let's talk about it. I was happy to be able to do this episode because Gettysburg has been on my ghost hunting bucket list my entire life. I really want to find the time to make a trip up there and explore all the things that I've talked about. But you know, these stories, as well as a lot of the others that we've covered, makes me wonder if hauntings taper off eventually. You know, obviously these are still happening, but with age and time, do experiences lessen? I really wish there was some documentation covering how frequent the experiences were in the months and years immediately following the battle versus the experiences people are having now. Because I have to imagine that over time, these things would decrease, right? The stories around the Devil's Den area are so interesting to me. The fact that it had that dark history from the beginning with the rumored Native American battle and haunting, and then that it seems every soldier got creeped out. Like, my source material states that almost every soldier who wrote home talked about how creepy those rocks were. And then add in the stories of the Texan soldier, and it's so fascinating. And it's really sad and interesting how the Texas regiment didn't get as many supplies and clothing. They alluded to it being tricky to ship from the far reaches of the country at that time, but the army seriously didn't provide soldiers with shoes, even? And the story of the haggard spirit who appeared to the film extras and gave them musket rounds blows my mind. How does a spirit materialize items? And I know the stories of something being materialized are not that rare. This one finds something left behind that was not there originally, but I just fail to have any way to explain that makes any sense. But I have heard before that Civil War reenactors often experience supernatural occurrences, at least often compared to the rest of us. Almost like spirits see them and think it's still happening. My favorite story of these, though, is the one at the college where the elevator went to the basement and the two staff members saw the hospital scene. It is so interesting that it was silent, that they could see the scene play out but couldn't hear anything. And of course, it lends credibility because two people together both saw the same thing. Yeah, my personal theory on ghosts, and not an uncommon one, is that there's a little tear in the fabric of time. The time is not linear, and sometimes we can just catch a glimpse of something happening at a different point in time. And that's exactly what this sounds like. I believe that when the hospital worker looked up right at them and seemed to be asking for help, I think in his timeline, he saw these two men on an elevator in weird clothes looking horrified. For Sachs Covered Bridge, I lend more credence to the stories of the hanging apparitions than the smoking ghost. Partially because after watching some videos of supposed encounters, it seems like if the lit cigarette isn't going out immediately, people say it's being puffed to keep it lit. And that would explain why thousands of supernatural events have been experienced here if the threshold for events is that low. So those stories don't quite convince me, especially when there's no real record of Tennessee, the ghost. It's more urban legend material. Generally, I do believe Gettysburg is very haunted. The usual formula applies, you know, the ghost recipe. And I feel like that is amplified when you consider that these men were fighting against their fellow countrymen in this way. That has to be absolutely heartbreaking. As always, I want to know what you think. Do you believe the town is haunted? What's your favorite Gettysburg haunting story? Better yet, have you been fortunate enough to visit? I would love to hear all about it. My apologies for my recurring illnesses these days. One day I will sound like myself again. But in the meantime, reach out to me on social media by searching for Obscure Appalachia. Check out the show's Instagram and Facebook pages for photos from today's episode. Just a reminder, if you need content warnings for each episode, you can always find those in the show notes. If you'd like to support the podcast and get bonus episodes, you can do that at patreon.com/obscureappalachia. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.